Okay, this morning, if you would, turn in your Bible with me to the book of Mark, and we're going to go to chapter 9. And I'm going to look at a simple little story of Jesus when he comes and ministers to a boy who is demon-possessed, okay? Mark chapter 9, verse 14. The Bible says, "And when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and scribes disputing with them. And immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed, and running to him, greeted him, and he asked the scribes, 'What are you discussing with them?' Then one of the crowd answered and said, 'Teacher, I brought to you my son who has a mute spirit, and whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not.' And he answered him and said, 'O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you, and how long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me.' Then they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell to the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, 'How long has this been happening to him?' And he said, 'From childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us.' And Jesus said to him, 'If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes.' Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, 'Lord, I believe, help my unbelief.' And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, 'Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more.' Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him, and he became as one dead, so that many said, 'He is dead.' But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, 'Why could we not cast it out?' And so he said to them, 'This kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting.'" Okay? So this is the scenario we have here. Jesus comes down off the mountain, and he meets a spirit in this young boy that was at a whole new level. All right? The disciples had been there trying to cast this spirit out of the boy, but they couldn't do it. Now, Jesus had with him three disciples on the mountain. He had Peter, James, and John. They had all gone up onto the mountain known as the Mount of Transfiguration. While he was up on the mountain, something supernatural happened. The Bible says that Jesus was transfigured, and he became white and was shining brighter than the sun. And then when Peter, James, and John looked at him, they saw Moses and Elijah standing on either side of Jesus. So, I mean, can you imagine that? For you and I, that it was like national heroes to these guys. For you and I, that would be like us looking and seeing, like you this morning seeing me standing here, and I turn glowing white, and here's George Washington and Thomas Jefferson standing by my side. I mean, it was like, oh my gosh. And when Peter saw this, he said, "Lord, it's good that we're here. Let's just set up three tents and let's just camp out here." Isn't that what we want to do sometimes when we get in that glory, we get in that level, we just, let's just stay here, Lord. But they came down off the mountain and encountered this situation we read about. So the other disciples were down there trying to cast this demon out of this boy that couldn't be cured, okay? But something I never noticed before is if you look through the earlier chapters of the book of Mark, there's a lot of demonic activity happening. Matter of fact, in chapter 1, Jesus comes on the scene, and one of the first things he does in the book of Mark is he casts a spirit out of a guy in the synagogue. And then in Mark chapter 3, and then in Mark chapter 6, he sends out the disciples and tells them, go preach the gospel and cast out demons. So they went and preached the gospel and cast out demons. And then Jesus in Mark chapter 5 and Mark chapter 7 also was casting out demons. So there's been a lot of encounters with demons along the way, and two in particular where the disciples themselves had success in casting out demons. But at this time, in Mark chapter 9, they encountered a spirit that was at a whole new level. And so what I want to preach to you just for a few moments this morning is how we can go to a whole new level. Because to encounter difficulties like these guys encountered, they had to come up to a whole new level. And to encounter stuff that you and I have been facing in 2020, I think it's time to up our game and get it to a whole new level. Amen? Coronavirus, we've faced many deaths and funerals in our church, racial riots, political season, crazy stuff happening in the world. We need to go to a whole new level. This is not the time to lay back and get lazy and get like uninterested in church. This is the time to up our game and take it to a whole new level. You know, I don't know if you've ever, it's like I'm a guitar player, and so I can play okay. You know, I can play all right. I've played with great musicians, and I've held in there with them, all right? But when you get around an A-level player, it really is noticeable. Okay, a few years ago, I was at a church playing, and the guys wanted me to sing some songs and play. So I got up, and I started singing, and I started playing guitar. And then I looked at their guitar player who was on stage with me, and I kind of gave him a nod. And this guy came out of the gate playing, and the crowd erupted. And I was like, oh, my word, this guy can play. Well, he was a professional guitar player. He's played his entire life, traveled with the best and the greatest. And when you get around somebody like that, it's like, okay, they're at another level, you know. But it pushes you to go to that level, all right? That's what I want to do today in the faith. We can do the same thing in the faith. When you get around somebody who's so powerful in their prayer life, or they live really close to the Lord, or they have miracles happening in their life, or they know the Word like crazy, you get around somebody like that, it causes you to want to up your game, to go to a whole new level, okay? So at the end of this whole thing, after Jesus came on the scene, and Jesus cast the demon out of this boy, the disciples got him alone privately at the end, and they said, why couldn't we do this? Why couldn't we cast out this spirit? And Jesus says, well, this kind doesn't come out but by prayer and fasting. In other words, it only comes out when you reach another level, because I believe prayer and fasting can take you to the other level. Okay, so I'm going to give you four things out of this passage that are commands that I believe if you do, you'll go to the next level, all right? Four things out of this passage that'll take you to the next level. Number one, you have to get in the glory. You have to get in the presence of the Lord. Mark chapter 9 begins with Jesus taking his disciples up on the mountain, and they see his glory. So when Jesus came down into the valley to cast out this spirit, he, Peter, James, and John, had been in the glory of God. And so they came down the mountain working out of the glory. So many times in church, we minister as like it's like we're scraping the bottom of the barrel to get out just a minimal amount of stuff we can to make it through Sunday. But really, we should be filled up all week long, and then we should be operating out of the overflow that's in our life. And when you're in the glory, that overflow comes, and you operate out of that overflow. In fact, I don't know, older I get, the more I've walked through, the more I minister, the more I just want to be in his presence. I know it's important to plan, it's important to do outreach, and it's important to do all these things, and we're going to do those, amen. But the main thing to me now is just getting his presence, man. I just want to be in the sweet spot of the Spirit and feel his anointing, hear from him, see the glory of God falling. Wednesday night in our Breaking Barriers camp meeting, at the last night, our good friend Doug Eccles preached, and then he gave an altar call, and he had preached on the power of the Holy Spirit, and then at the altar call, here came all of these young teenage girls and boys into the altar seeking for the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. And I saw God fall on these girls, and they started weeping and they started crying. And I couldn't close the service. I just let the service keep going and keep going because I saw the glory of God on those girls. And you know, I knew it would be an experience that they would never forget, that would transform their lives forever. They would live the rest of their lives with that as an anchor for them, knowing that they had been in the presence of God, they had seen the Lord, so to speak, and that encounter would forever change them. Isn't that what it's all about? Isn't that what it's all about? Peter, at the end of his life, talked about this. Peter in 2 Peter, he's writing his final words to his church, his churches. He's writing his final words. And when he writes his final words, he said, basically, I'm getting ready to put off this tent, this body, but I want to stir you up by reminding you that what I talked to you about wasn't fables, it wasn't fairy tales, it wasn't made up fiction. But the stuff I talked to you about, the story of Jesus, I actually walked with him. I touched him. He said, our hands have handled the word of life. And then he said this in 2 Peter 1:16. He said, for we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty, for he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came from him from the excellent glory, saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. So Peter's thinking back to Mark chapter 9 when they were on the Mount of Transfiguration. And think about this, church. At the end of his life, he's not saying, man, I tell you, I want you guys to know how great I was. Man, I preached on the day of Pentecost and 3,000 were saved. Or I was so powerful and I was so anointed that one time I walked down the street and my shadow just cast upon people who were sick and they were all healed. Or one time I was in prison and an angel came and unlocked the door and let me. No, he didn't talk about any of that stuff. But in the end, he said, I want you to know that I was there on the mountain, and I saw his glory, and it was real. And that's what I want to be remembered by. Man, if Hans Hess, if I could have anything on my like gravestone, and this be my epitaph at the end of my life, I would love for it to say, he lived in the glory, or he experienced God's presence, or he was an eyewitness to the move of God. Forget about the greatness of preaching, or the greatness of building church, or any of that. He witnessed God's power in his lifetime. How many can raise your hand and just say, Lord, I want that to be my testimony, that I lived and I witnessed your power in my lifetime. Hallelujah. You got to get in the glory. When you come to church, be ready to worship. When you're at home, turn on some praise music. Get into the Bible. Do a devotional plan. Kyle and Tiffany can help you with all these kind of things. Get filled with the Holy Ghost, man. Get, pray in your prayer language on a daily basis. Get immersed in the things of God and live out of that flow of glory. Okay, that's key number one to going to a whole new level. Key number two is when Jesus came down from the mountain, the first thing he did when he came to that scene with that boy being demon-possessed, the first thing Jesus does is he walks over to where the disciples were arguing with the scribes. And he basically shuts it down. He walks up and he says, why are you arguing with them? And asks the scribes. Okay, now we understand that the scribes didn't believe in the resurrection. Some scholars say that the scribes didn't even believe in miracles. And there's other places in the Gospels where the scribes come up and try to get Jesus to perform a miracle just to show who he was. So, what were the scribes arguing with the disciples about? Well, probably the validity of miracles. Did they believe this thing was possible at all? Or the lack of power that the disciples had. Maybe they were accusing them. You can't do anything. You're nothing. Well, the first thing Jesus does is he comes, he shuts down that argument. That tells me that to go to the next level, we need to stop arguing with faithless people. We need to stop arguing with faithless people. It amazes me how people get on Facebook and spend countless hours arguing with people whom they are never going to convince of anything different. And it's sometimes the same in the faith. We get in arguments with folks and we're like in all these debates. And if you get caught up with these people, if you allow them, they can actually destroy your faith in miracles and your faith in the power of God. It can actually take away from what God is doing in your life. Don't allow that to happen, but allow God to move in you as you get around people who are full of faith and full of anointing and full of power. Get around people like that. Get around people who know the word. Get around people who are full of power. Get around people who believe that God can do anything that he said he could do. If you want to stir up your faith, get around somebody who has faith. If you want to stir up your prayer life, get around somebody who's a powerful prayer warrior. If you want to get filled with the Holy Ghost, get with somebody who is filled with the Holy Ghost, who can actually transmit that power to you. If you want somebody, or if you want to know the word, get around somebody who knows the word, who's deep in those things. Get around people who can stoke your faith. My friend Doug Echols always said it like this: if you want to be anointed, get around anointed things. If you want to be anointed, get around anointed people. If you want to be anointed, get around anointed churches and anointed church services. Get into that flow. Hallelujah. As long as we're in a corner arguing with people who don't even believe in miracles, we're not going to get anything done. I've seen people get derailed by hanging around people who pull them away from the power of God and pull them away from miracles. I have many friends. I believe in higher academics and higher education, but I've had many friends get involved in higher academics, and then they start hearing all the arguments against the Bible and all the arguments against miracles for today, and it pulls them right away from that, and they get caught up in this powerless Christianity. Don't get there. Stop arguing with faithless people. Somebody shout amen. Come on, give me an Edenton shout hallelujah this morning. All right. The third thing that I believe we need to do to get to the next level is we need to believe that God can do anything. All right. We need to take the stops out. We need to get God out of the box. Take the governor off. Believe that God can do anything he said he could do. When Jesus comes onto the scene, after he rebukes the scribes and disciples, he comes over to the man, the father of the child who was demon-possessed. And in verse 23, he comes up and the child's father says, "Lord, if you can do anything, please help us in this situation." And then Jesus turns around, and this is the way the New American Standard translates this. Jesus turns around and says, "If you can, ? All things are possible to him who believes." In other words, Jesus is saying, what are you saying, if I can? It isn't a question of my ability. It's a question of your faith. This is a question of your faith, not my ability. Unless we can get to the point of believing God can do it all, we'll never see all that God can do. Unless we get to the point of believing God can do it all, we'll never see all that God can do. Some people have just a limited, like 25% Christianity. Oh, I believe God can save my soul, but yet that's about all he can do in this life. Come on, man. God can do anything. God can do anything. If you're struggling with sickness, believe him for healing. If you're struggling with financial problems, believe him for prosperity. If you're struggling and you got your family, they're all lost, believe God to save every single one of them. If you're having a defeated, depressed life, believe God for victory. Believe God for joy. Believe God for everything. Hallelujah. I believe for the Edenton campus that revival's coming. Because before we ever opened the doors there, me and Kyle were in there praying one day in the sanctuary, and I saw in the spirit, I saw an army of children coming into that church. And I believe it's going to happen. I believe it's going to be a church of families, and I believe it's going to be a church on fire for the Lord. Come on, if you believe that, raise your hands with me right now and just say hallelujah and let it ring. Praise God. Believe God can do it, and he's going to do it. Okay, the fourth and final thing here is you must then feed your faith and starve your doubts out. You must feed your faith and starve your doubts out. Jesus is asked privately by the disciples, "Why couldn't we cast this demon out of this boy?" And Jesus said, "This kind cannot come out but by prayer and fasting." Or the New American Standard said, "This kind comes out by nothing but by anything but by prayer." It's only prayer and fasting that gets this kind. It's only prayer and fasting that takes you to the next level. You've got to get to the next level. During my wife's battle with cancer over the past year, I couldn't imagine having walked through that without faith. I couldn't imagine. Because Jackie and I didn't sit around and talk about death. We didn't sit around and talk about, oh my gosh, there's this, this is happening. And we didn't have, I didn't experience any fear with the thing. There was a couple of moments where we did have our moment. We broke and we cried with each other a little bit. But I remember one time in particular when Jackie got the final negative report about how the cancer was attacking her body. And I broke down and I cried and I saw her shed a tear or so. And then she looked at me and she said, okay, Hans, let's get up and get out of this. And I was like, yes, ma'am. And we got up, boom, we walked on and we walked out of that thing. You can't, come on, you got to face even the greatest trials in life with the maximum amount of faith in your life. Hallelujah. And even though she didn't receive her healing here on earth, she left this world praising God and full of faith and declaring, God, my body is yours and you're the healing Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 You got to face your trials that way. God, I know I'm standing in the midst of this storm and I'm still believing. I'm standing in the midst of the coronavirus and I still believe in the healing power of Jesus. I still believe, God, you can do anything you said you were going to do. God, I'm standing in the midst of this political craziness right now and I'm believing you're going to have your way in America because we're praying for God to save and redeem this nation. And I believe revival is going to come. I believe we're already seeing it, but revival is coming to America like a tidal wave. Come on, you believe that? Shout hallelujah. 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 How do you deal with demons on another level? You got to get to another level. How do you do that? You got to get on the mountain with Jesus. You got to put aside the doubters. You got to believe that God can do anything, and then you have to feed your faith and starve your doubts out. So how do we feed our faith? The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. You must get into the Word. If you don't like to read, you got audio Bibles. Go to church. Listen to the Word taught. Listen to it preached. Get on podcasting. Get on YouTube. There's a million ways to do it now. Amen. There's a little Bible app called the YouVersion. I would recommend to you. You can get on YouVersion Bible app. Get it right on your phone. It has simple daily reading plans. You can do a 21-day devotional. You can do a 365-day read through the Bible. That's got all these options. I recommend you to download it for free and go ahead and get into that if no other way. Me, I like the old school Bible. You can see mine has black tape. It's Gorilla tape together, actually. And I love this thing because I got notes in it and years of stuff that God has given me. And I just love to get in that. I like to underline. I like to highlight. I like to take notes, put dates on prophetic words. I got sermons in the back. Hallelujah. I don't know. However you do it, get into the Word and let the Word get into you. Then you must get into the realm of the Spirit through prayer and worship. Get into the realm of the Spirit through prayer and worship. And as you continually pray and you worship, you're going to start hearing stuff. And it's going to come as thoughts to your mind. But you're going to start hearing stuff in the presence of the Lord. And God speaks as a stream of thoughts through your mind when you're in His presence. That's just what I've learned through the years. God starts speaking streams of thought through my mind when I'm in His presence. When I go to prayer, I almost always have pen and paper with me. I have a journal with me or something, and I almost always have my Bible with me because God has given me specific words when I've been in prayer and in His presence that has carried me for years to come. Hallelujah. Feed your faith and then starve your doubts out. During the past year and struggle we've been through, and then the past almost 4 months now, since I've lost my wife, I mean, I went through some dark times. I'll be honest with you. I went through some dark times in this sense. I had this foreboding sense of grief come over me several times. But in the midst of all that, I really didn't doubt the Lord. I didn't even wrestle with why wasn't she healed? I didn't really even wrestle with that much because I knew she walked out in victory, man. But there were a couple times that a thought passed through, and the thought was this: is this whole thing real or not? Is all of this Christianity you believe in, Hans, is this real or not? That thought passed through a couple times. And then I thought and responded in my mind with two things. Number one, I thought back to my experience with the Lord when I was 16 years old. I was radically saved when I was 16. I wasn't raised in church. I didn't attend church. I didn't know the Bible. I didn't watch Christian television. I didn't listen to Christian music. No one witnessed to me. No one handed me a gospel tract. God just spoke to me as I was in a hospital room one night, and it absolutely radically changed my life. And as a 17-year-old, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'd prayed for 8 months to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I received that experience, and it was such a supernatural experience, I could not deny what happened to me. Is this thing real? Let me take you back to my teenage years. I know it was real because something supernaturally transformed my life. Then number two, I'd started studying the Bible since I was 16 and had just spent 30 plus years reading, immersing myself in Scripture, studying theology, studying church history, studying the philosophical backgrounds of religion, studying all of this mountain of evidence for the Gospels and for the validity of God's existence. And then so I had this experience and then this mountain of data that I could not get away from. Church, I know God is real. And you can't allow the circumstance you walk through to redefine what you believe. You don't redefine what you believe while you're in the fire. You believe it before you go in, and then when you come out, you realize it's still the same thing, man. Don't allow circumstances to reorient your faith. Go into let the word be the thing that grounds you in your faith. Let your experience of the Spirit be the thing that grounds you. And then once you walk in and all these doubts start coming, why are you in this? And why is 2020 like this? And is everything just going to burn up? And is there no hope for my future? And is there no hope for my family? Are my kids just going to be turned over to the Antichrist? And it's just going to be horrible? I mean, you have all these crazy thoughts. Listen, starve those doubts out and believe that God's going to do everything He said He's going to do. And I'm telling you, years ago, Oral Roberts came on the scene. Oral Roberts was a Pentecostal holiness minister, by the way. He came on the scene at the time, and he used to say something every time he came on air, and it absolutely irritated some people in the church world of the day. He came out and he would say, "Something good is going to happen to you." And people were actually like, "What's he talking about, something good? How can he say that as a minister, that something good's going to happen?" Actually, people didn't believe it. And then he starts flowing in miracles and signs and wonders and evangelism and builds a university that changes the world. Come on, I want to be around people like that who have faith to stand up in the middle of doubt and unbelief and say, God has something good for you and something amazing is going to happen. I believe you're in Edenton this morning listening to this message, and it's not by chance or just happenstance, or just through your circumstances for the day. God brought you here, and God has you here because He wants to do something good in your life, and He wants to take you to the next level of faith, take you to the next level of power and anointing, and take you to the next level of ministry effectiveness. Come on, if that's you, raise your hands right now and say, God, I'm here, and I'm willing. Take me to the next level, Lord. Come on, say it out. Take me to the next level, Lord. Hallelujah. One more time. Take me to the next level, Lord. I'm ready to go in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Okay, well, I'm going to close with this, and then Pastor Kyle's going to come, and we're going to close this thing out. But here's my thing. In the end, I know we've talked about us going to the next level and what Jesus had to do and how Jesus taught His disciples through this object lesson of how to get to the next level. In the end, we talk about that and often miss what really went down. And that is, there was a young little boy who was mute. And he had a spirit in him that was so violent, it would throw him into the fireplace. Think about that. And he would convulse. And his father was at his wit's end. And they didn't know what to do for the kid. I'm sure they had tried everything in their power. You know, as a parent, you try everything first on your own before you take them to the emergency room, right? You try everything. I'm sure this dad and mom were at the limit, man. They had had it all. But when they brought that young boy to Jesus, he left completely free. All right? It was a young life that was completely set free by the compassion and power of God. Oh, hallelujah. So us going to the next level is not just about, look at me, man. I'm super Christian. I can leap tall buildings. You know, it's not about that. It's about I need to go to the next level so I can set other people free. So when I lay hands on the sick, they're healed. So when I preach the gospel, it has authority and power. So when I witness on the job place, people open their ears and hear what's going on. That's what I'm talking about. God wants to anoint you and empower you so that you can touch other people. Think about the life of Jesus. He had lived 30 years and had evidently done no ministry. The only thing we're told about is when he was a young man, he walked into the temple and amazed the teachers at his knowledge and wisdom. That's all we know about him. So when he's 30 years old, he goes to the River Jordan and he's baptized, and then the Holy Spirit power comes on him. And from that moment forward, he moved in tremendous authority and miracle working power. It's because the anointing had come upon him, and I know this sounds weird, but really had taken him to the next level. Sure, he was perfect God in man. Sure, he was born of the Virgin Mary. But for example for us, I think, he waited until he was anointed with the power of the Holy Spirit, and then he went about his miracle-working ministry. No wonder when he left here, he told his disciples, go tarry and wait in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high, and then you go be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. I'm telling you, get ready, get ready, get ready for God to take you to the next level, Edenton. I believe revival's coming to your church, that campus right there, corporately to FOL, but especially the Edenton campus. I just feel it in my bones, hallelujah, that something good is getting ready to happen. Come on, if you believe that, give the Lord a shout, hallelujah, as Pastor Kyle comes this morning. Hey guys, thanks so much for watching or listening to our podcast. I'm so honored that you tuned in, and I pray the sermon was a great blessing to you. I don't know where you are right now in life, but I know one thing, God loves you and He has a plan for your life. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, how about praying this prayer with me, opening up your heart and inviting the Lord to come in? Come on, just a simple prayer. The Bible says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you one of those whosoevers? If so, open up your heart right now and just pray with me. Just say, Father in heaven, I accept Jesus Christ into my life. Forgive me of all my sin and give me a new start today. In Jesus' name I pray, and you can say amen where you are. Please join us online for more information. We hope you come back and visit us, and we love you dearly, and go follow God and go into the destiny that He has for your life.